This week's mailbag is an amazing story from Mary in North Carolina. She writes, "Hi, Lisa. You have no idea how much the Organized 365 podcast has helped me to get organized and has really saved my sanity in the last 8 months. Back in September 2017, my husband lost his job. We were just barely scraping by at the time, and by November, December, there were no new job prospects, and we had to downsize from our 1,300 square foot three bedroom house to an 800 square foot duplex. This move was the easiest move we've ever done because we were mostly organized. By the end, I still knew where everything was, knew what was going to storage, which wasn't much, and what needed to come with us. The one question that my family kept asking me during the move was, where is all your paper? Well, I was very proud to show them my Sunday basket and the one other drawer where we had paper. There was no other paper in the house. Fast forward to February this year, our duplex caught fire in our outside attached laundry room. My family got out safe, but we lost nearly all our physical possessions and our two chihuahuas. Then not even 8 hours later, my mother-in-law passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. We were lost. We have been piecing our life back together, living with my mother and trying to figure out our next steps. My Sunday basket was on my kitchen table right inside the back door, so needless to say, it perished in the fire, and there were very few pages left that were readable, nothing important. Fortunately, I also had set up binders for us, medical and others, that had all our pertinent information in it, and they were a little charred around the edges, but overall intact. Plus, the most important documents were in a fire-safe box under our bed, and they were safe. It was such a lifesaver those first few weeks. Then my husband had become executor of his mother's estate, and of course I encouraged him to put everything in a binder too, and he has been able to keep up with everything for that and keep it organized. Thank you so much for what you have done, and thank you for saving my sanity after this crisis. Thank you so much for writing in, Mary. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We'd love to hear about it. Send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and let us know how you've changed your life and your home with Organized 365. Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Last week, I talked to you about how to organize faster, like take big chunks of time and put all of your energy in and get the whole room done in one day, which is how I love to do everything. And this week, we're going to talk about what if you can't? Like, what if you would love to organize faster? You also would love to get out of bed, would be nice as well. And you just physically can't. We're going to talk about the spoon theory. So Amy on our content creation team told me about the spoon theory a couple of months ago, and it's been on my list to record this podcast for quite a while. And the spoon theory is an idea that was created by Christine Mezzarandino in her essay called The Spoon Theory. And if this podcast resonates with you, I highly recommend that you go check out her website, which is called butyoudon'tlooksick.com. So over on butyoudon'tlooksick.com, you can find out about the spoon theory. And the spoon theory is a theory that she created all herself, kind of like I created the Sunday basket. She created the spoon theory. It was when she was in college and she was talking to her friend and she was trying to explain what it was like to live with lupus. So over on Wikipedia, which there's spoon theory on Wikipedia. Do you think Sunday basket someday would be on Wikipedia? How cool would that be? I'm like, this is so cool. She wrote this letter and created this thing. It's like on Wikipedia. Like, it's so cool to me. So the spoon theory is a disability metaphor used to explain the reduced amount of energy available for activities of living and producing tasks that may result from a disability or a chronic illness. Spoons are a visual representation used as a unit of measure in order to quantify how much energy a person has throughout a given day. Each activity requires a certain number of spoons,
which will only be replaced as the person recharges through rest. When a person runs out of spoons, they have no choice but to rest until their spoons are replenished. So I kind of had gleaned what I thought the spoon theory was, and now I'm doing my research for this podcast, and I understand that this spoon theory has been created to explain chronic illnesses like lupus or autoimmune conditions that go on and on and on. I do not have experience with this personally, and no one in our family has experience with this personally. So the stories that I am going to share today and how I view spoons are more how I manage my household. I think it's obvious. I have a lot of spoons at my disposal. Like I just have a lot of energy. I usually run out of energy around 8 o'clock at night, but I can usually pull out a couple more spoons and keep going. I'm a healthy person. I'm an energetic person. I just have a lot of spoons at my disposal. And the first time I really probably started thinking about what this spoon theory idea or this concept that not everyone has the same amount of spoons was in parenting. And I knew my kids had learning disabilities and anxiety, but my thought as a mom was just, well, we'll get them more organized, we'll get them what they need, tutors, assistants, whatever, and then they will be able to produce at the level at which I can produce. And I remember distinctly when I realized that this was not the case. My kids were probably late grade school, early middle school, when it finally dawned on me, I'm a little bit of a slow learner here, that there was a difference in general in the amount of spoons each person has. I'm just going to keep using spoons just because I think that Christine's analogy is so great and we can all understand this amount of spoons that you have related to energy. I have come to realize that probably if you put both my kids and my husband together, it equals the amount of spoons I have. I have a lot of energy, you guys. I wake up ready to go. I know this is not a surprise, but I love my job. I love my life. I'm very healthy. You know, my husband has high blood pressure and isn't as satisfied in work as I am. And so just those things, I don't think it's just chronic illness that takes your spoons away. Sometimes it's life circumstances that take your spoons away. If you don't really enjoy going to your job, that's going to take some of your energy away. If you know, you have a lot of mental stress going on. Maybe your parents aren't doing well or your marriage isn't doing well. I think that takes some of your spoons away too. So while the spoon theory is based on physical, being able to physically do things based on a chronic medical condition, I think all of us can relate to this idea that sometimes we have more spoons than other times. I would say in general, people probably have an extra spoon or two in the summer and a few less spoons when they're in the middle of a snowstorm. Wouldn't you agree? A rainy day probably takes the spoon away. So I think this idea of how much energy you have is related to a whole bunch of things. Now, along the lines with that, I know I've said in a podcast before, I'm a morning person. Hello. And a lot of people are not. My children. And my kids have anxiety and they get ready for school, how they get ready for school. Because I am a productive, goal-oriented morning person, I'm all about speeding this train up. Maybe you have a friend. When you say you're going to meet for lunch at 11, there are three kinds of people. There are the people that are in the parking lot at 10:50 waiting for it to be 11 to go in. Yes, that's me. There are people that arrive right at 11. They're on time. They're not late. They're not early. It's very few people. And then there are people that arrive at 11:10, 11:30 going, what? I mean, like I tried to get there on time. This was very evident this summer with the launching of the website. It was supposed to be launched in August. We launched it in the end of July. Because when I set a deadline, I always want to beat it by a week. I did not articulate this to the team or to the website developer, but I was always pushing to get it early. So when I say I have a deadline, I really mean it's a few days before that because I'm always early. And then if I'm early, well, then let's just launch it. Let's just go. Let's just do the thing. So if you show up on time at 11 for a lunch with me, you're late because I was there at 10:50. This, can you imagine having me as a mother? So my kids, who are doing just fine getting ready in the morning, at their own timetable, with their own spoons, getting ready to get in the car at 6:50 or whatever, I'm in the car at 6:40 going, hurry up, come on, have you taken your pills? Have you done this? Let's go, let's go, let's go. And I realized that they were not going to be ready before 6:50. And every time I said anything or even looked at them, I was adding more stress and anxiety and probably taking spoons away that they were going to need for school, but they were using up all of their spoons trying to please me and get in the car 10 minutes earlier or not please me and still losing spoons in the process. I would say that's probably the first time that I realized that the way I interacted with my kids was using up some of their spoons for later. The other thing that I would say, I don't normally think about things in spoons. I normally think about things in decision fatigue. I'm sure you've heard about this idea of decision fatigue, that when you wake up, you only have a certain amount of decisions that you can make in a day. And when those decisions are done, they're done. And the next day you get more decision-making time. So if you wake up in the morning and you go in your closet and you have to decide what you're going to wear, and then you decide what kind of toothpaste you're going to put on your toothbrush, and then you decide what you're going to have for breakfast, and then you decide which way you're going to drive to work, you've used up 4 decisions. But if you know, like I do, every Tuesday I do a whole bunch of Facebook Lives, and so I pick that outfit out the night before. I don't have to make that decision because I've already made that decision. I only use one kind of toothpaste, as does everybody. That's a ridiculous example. I don't have to make that decision. I always have the same thing for breakfast, a protein bar and coffee. I don't have to make that decision. And I always drive the same way to work. I don't have to make that decision. When you wake up and go through that morning, you've made no decisions. You've done things, but you haven't made any decisions. So that's a way to reduce decision fatigue so that you have the opportunity to use that decision-making power later. I was using up all of my kids' decisions. They were going through their regular routine, whatever it was, of getting ready in the morning, and they're in the middle of doing something, and I'm saying, did you take your pills? In the middle of what they're doing, which does 2 things. 1, stops their flow. 2, makes them stop and think, did I take my pills? Which is not when they normally would take them. Then they have to answer me. Then they forget what they were doing. Then they forget something at school. Now they've made decisions and they've had to answer me because they've been interrupted, and it just sets off their whole day. So I'm letting you know that sometimes what we're naturally doing is causing other people to lose decisions or lose spoons, however you want to look at it. Now, as far as a disability, the first time I realized that my kids had less spoons for me productivity-wise, which I know I'm very productive, was when my son was probably 10 or 12 and he went to make a bagel. And he has a slow processing speed, a lower processing speed, which is just a hardwired thing. And so things that are automatic for me, like an 18-step process, no big deal. You may think, a bagel, okay, a bagel. I'm going to go make a bagel. It's going to take like 5 minutes. It took my son 30 minutes because making a bagel is an 18-step process. I did not know this until I tried to teach it to him. First, you have to know if we have bagels, where a bagel is stored, get the bagel out of the drawer. Then you have to take the bagel out of the bag, wrap up the bag, put the bag back away. Then you have to open the bagel. That is a step. Now you need to get out the toaster. You have to put the bagel in the toaster. You have to toast it. You have to get the bagel out of the toaster. We don't put the toaster away. We're already at 7 steps if you're counting. Get out the cream cheese, put the cream cheese on the bagel, put the cream cheese back away. And just saying this, it sounds ridiculous. You may be like, dude, make a bagel, which is what I was saying, dude, make a bagel. Going through that process and watching him do that, every single step was an independent step that had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And had task initiation. This is why my book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization, is so on point. Like, you read that book, you're like, oh my gosh, that's exactly how I think. Or, oh my gosh, that is exactly my kids. Yes, I've lived this. I know. This is why I put it in a book. There is task initiation for every single one of those steps, task completion, task switching, and then processing speed. That's why it can take 30 minutes to make a bagel. You're like, why is it taking him 30 minutes to make a bagel? Well, very well may have all of these issues compounding at the same time, which is why my son just goes to all fast food. It is a hardwired spoon issue. In this analogy that Christine has, she talks about cooking, and she says at the end of the story with her friend who's gone through this fictitious day of having spoons, and she's crying, trying to explain to her, you just lost a spoon. Hold on to your spoons. You better not lose your spoons. She gets to the end of the day and her friend says to her, I'm hungry. She says, great. You have 1 spoon left. Here are your choices. She said, you can cook your dinner and eat it, but that uses your spoon. Now you can't clean up after you ate. And I was like, oh, just my kids. That's why Joey gets fast food. Yes, it's yummier. It's faster. It's easier. But also, you just heard the whole process of making the bagel, putting away a bagel, and that's a bagel. That's not a dinner. That's 30 minutes. Much faster go through fast food. I want Skyline Burrito. Thank you. And I will eat it. I think we underestimate our own capacity for decision making and energy and those around us. And the more aware we are of how much energy we have and those around us, the better our family interactions are. So this was probably about 6 or 7 years ago when I made these dual revelations that number one, making a bagel was 18 steps and can take 30 minutes, mind-boggling to me. And number two, my reminding my children in the morning was more of a distraction and a hindrance than just being quiet and getting in my car. So I would be quiet, get in my car, key up a podcast. I've told you this before. We all listen to headphones in the car. We all have iPhones. We put on whatever music we want. I only have one earbud in. Don't freak out. I have it very low, but I can listen to podcasts while I'm driving my kids around and they can listen to whatever they want. And it's quiet and they have anxiety and it's great if I don't talk anyway. Everybody's happier. Look at what you're doing that is causing you stress and anxiety. And what can you be doing to change that situation? Okay, that's number one. Number two, what if you do have a lot of spoons? And I'm thinking if you have a lot of spoons, listen to the podcast before this one, schedule a day for yourself, organize your entire kitchen in a day like me and move on. More, what if you don't have as many spoons? Like, this is great, Lisa. Someone said last week, I've been following you for 2 years. I'm making progress. I'm just not making a lot of progress. I feel sicker this year than I did before. The mindset is there. The desire is there. You literally have 3 spoons and, you know, you have to eat. So your spoons are gone. There's no spoons left to get organized. It doesn't matter if I say you only have to do one thing a day. You don't have the spoon for that one thing. Here's my suggestion for you. I was doing a consultation with a lady to organize. She was not bedridden, but pretty much bedridden in a family room, like on a couch in the family room. And she had services that were coming in and helping her a couple of times a week. And she wanted to get organized. I cannot remember I know I've shared this in a podcast. I can't remember when. It was a while ago. She wanted to get organized and she basically lived in this family room. So even though she had other areas of her house, she hadn't really been in those in a while because she was pretty much bedridden in this one area. And she was kind of making progress, but not enough progress. So she scheduled a virtual organizing call for us to figure out what she could do differently. I don't do this now, but you can go to organize365.com, scroll to the bottom. There's a big pink button that says search the certified organizer directory and find a professional organizer that would do virtual organizing calls with you. So I had her talk to me about what she was organizing, and particularly she was organizing paper. So she was like, how can we organize paper? Because that's something she could organize while being in bed. Like, she wasn't physically walking around, but in bed she could organize paper. And this is before I knew about the spoon theory, but I knew she just didn't have very much energy. And as a professional organizer, that's what we do. Like, when we go into people's houses, we realize they don't have time, they don't have energy, they're out of decisions. We mitigate all of those issues when we're in your house. So I was very used to working with this kind of a client. And we went through the factual things that she wanted to know, like, how do I sort paper? How should I organize it? All of that. And then towards the end of the call, I said, well, let's talk about your daily and weekly routine and how we can get you some more help. And in the book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization, I think 4 of the chapters say get help. Like, if you have ADHD, you probably need a tutor if you also have learning disabilities. You just need help. You need physical people help. It is the number one answer for all of these different issues. However, it costs money. It always costs money. And usually, if you're dealing with a disability or something like that, you don't have money because you're paying for everything. You're literally paying for everything. So that's great, Lisa. You're going to say we need more people. We have no money for these people. Well, in this case, she already had help coming to the house based on, for whatever reason, I don't remember. They were doing like the cooking maybe and the cleaning or something like that. And so I talked to her about the help she already had coming to the house, how it was being paid for, who was paying for it, and what the reason was she was getting the help. In this case, it was a certain amount of hours. I think it was maybe 5 hours a week. I can't remember anymore. 2.5 hours twice a week. And I said, well, we have this person doing XYZ, but what if they also did these three tasks? Do you think this current person working with you would like to and wouldn't mind doing those tasks? She said, oh yeah, she'll do whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. She will do whatever. I said, okay, let's reorder what she's doing for you. So you may already have help. You may already have somebody helping you clean the house or picking up the kids or whatever. You may already have help. I want you to look at the help that you already have and see how we can maximize it to get you an extra spoon, number one. And number two, I want you to consider hiring help just for even a couple hours a week for anywhere from $15 to $30 a week, which is money, but isn't a ton of money, which may get you back some spoons. So in this instance, I don't want you to just outsource tasks that are nice to have, like we're going to dust our house. Who cares? Leave the dust. Doesn't matter. But what are the things that you have to do that are taking away your spoons that are making it so you can't make progress in another area? So, for example, for this lady, she had boxes in a storage area somewhere else in her house that A, she physically could not carry, and B, were not on the same floor as the family room. And I said, what if this person who's already coming to your house went in the storage area and brought three of those boxes and stacked them up in the family room? She said, oh, she would definitely do that. That would take this person maybe 5 to 10 minutes, okay? Then during the week, put one of those boxes next to your couch, next to your bed, and then you go through the box. Because once the box is in the family room, you could grab a couple of pieces out and make the decisions of these stay, these go. Now, the next time this person comes, because she comes twice a week, she would take the piles that you had, you know, recycle what needs to be recycled, and then bring up another box. Let's say you only went through one box, you would bring up another box, and then you would have a new box on the left side of your bed of things that had already been gone through, and they'll be labeled over on that side. So at least you can do the decluttering step. So we've taken maybe 10 to 15 minutes of this person's 2.5 hours away from her to move the stuff into the room so the lady can actually do the deciding part. The deciding part she could do, it was the physical moving of the stuff that she couldn't do. So we've solved that problem. Problem number two in this client's instance was the clothes were getting cleaned, but they weren't getting folded and put away. So we also figured out when this person came over and she moved the clean laundry out of the dryer that she would put it on the bed with the client and the client would fold it while the person was there and then she would go and put it away before she left. So that was making that more efficient. And the third thing I'll never forget, this was like the biggest thing, was trash. Like, there wasn't a good way for trash to get out of the house. And so we talked about how there needed to be a trash can in the room where she was, a bigger one, like not a little waste can, but like a regular kitchen trash can that she could throw stuff in. And then the person's job that came twice a week was to empty that trash out of the family room all the way down to where it needed to be and to put in a new bag. Sorry. And then to put in a new bag. And oh yeah, there was another thing too. It was when the helper wasn't there, she could go in the kitchen and get what she needed to eat and she would bring it into the family room, but then nothing was getting replenished back to the kitchen again. It was just piling up in the family room. And so what I suggested there was to get a laundry basket, not for laundry, but for dishes. And so to go ahead and bring her food into the family room. And then as she was done, anything that needed to go back in the kitchen could go back in the laundry basket. That way, when she did get up to go into the kitchen again, if she had enough spoons, if she had enough energy, she could take the whole laundry basket into the kitchen and then she could put everything away right away instead of the back walking back and forth from the family room to the... Some of you listening to this may be like, seriously, you can't keep going from the family room to the kitchen? Yes, people cannot. Like, this is a real thing. This is, can you imagine if when you wake up in the morning, you had to decide, do I have the energy to take a shower? I take a shower every morning and a bath every night. And I know there are people listening to this podcast that they shower or bathe once or twice a week because it's way too much energy. I know this is true. So yes, just taking the laundry basket with you so you don't do the back and forth. And then also, again, we put on this person's task list that comes twice a week to take the laundry basket in, put everything away, move the laundry basket back. So it was all about thinking about your life, thinking about your routines and how to take some of that physical exertion off of you because your mental's fine. Like mentally you're there and you're thinking of all these things you could, should, and want to be doing, but physically your body's like, not today, not this week, not this year, and playing this really cruel trick on you. So let's use that mental capacity you definitely have to really problem solve what is the way that you can conserve your energy the most. Conserve your energy the most. And you want to get your home organized. So if you have somebody that would come to the house, again, I'm going to go back to this mother's helper idea, this teenager that wants to come over and help you, hire a babysitter for yourself. And this person's going to come, you know, 2 hours a week and you're going to pay them $20 and they're going to love it. I'm just telling you, they're going to love it. And you say, okay, I've read and I've watched all the videos and we're supposed to be in the kitchen, and you physically get yourself into the kitchen and sit on a stool. And then you say to this adorable teenage girl who is loving playing in your kitchen, you know, like, okay, I want you to put everything on the counter. I'm going to tell you what's going to go. And you're just using your mind in order to get your kitchen organized. And then as she leaves in the car that she must have come in, have her drop off at Goodwill what needs to be dropped off at Goodwill or the food pantry or whatever. Hire yourself a babysitter. Have that person, you know, bring you lunch when they come. Like you don't have to hire a skilled nurse or a professional organizer or a really highly paid service professional if you just need an extra pair of hands at your house to help you get the 100-day program done so you can get your home organized to free up some of that clutter that's around you. You know, they've done statistical studies that show that clutter actually raises your cortisol levels and your stress. Like living in a cluttered, unorganized house is actually compounding your stress level. And if you can get that clutter out and you can get it organized the way you want, then you're going to have less stress. Like it's scientifically proven, you're going to have less stress. Again, just like in the last podcast, I'm going to say in this instance, just do your kitchen. Or if this is you and you are bedridden or you're in a family room or bedroom the most of the time, skip the kitchen, start in the room you're in most of the time. Stay in bed, lay in bed, and with your mouth, just tell the person in the room what to do. And here's the bigger part. It's probably not even finding this person, paying this person. As I'm saying this, I'm thinking the bigger thing I would be thinking if this is me is like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm gonna bring somebody else into my bedroom, which looks like a bomb went off and then another bomb went off. And I'm gonna start telling her to collect all the dirty laundry. Like, that is so embarrassing and degrading that somebody else is going to pick up my laundry. And here's what I will tell you. I'd have loved to do it for you when I was 14, 15, 16, 18, 22 today. I would love to do it for you. I met this girl at the homeschool convention. She's adorable. She's 10. She's so amazingly awesome. And she would love to do it for you. She would come over. She would do it for you gladly. No judgment. Someone who is going to be a babysitter and a future professional organizer, they're not judging you. They're so excited that you have a mess that they can help you clean up. Like it is like Candyland for them. It's like a day at Disney. You have no idea. A cluttered room is like a gift to me that I could organize it for you and give it as a gift to you. Like what you think is a bother or a problem or a deficiency, we see as like an opportunity. We love it. And so if you can get over the idea that A, you need help, and B, it's going to cost even just a little bit of money, and C, letting them in your house. I mean, the biggest problem for professional organizers is people will call us, they'll get us a price, they'll even save the money. And then they cancel the day of because they just can't let us in the house to see the mess that they're embarrassed that they have. Why are you embarrassed? You have this. We all have a mess. Everybody has a mess. Everybody has different giftings. Don't worry about it. Nobody's judging you. And if they are, that's their problem. It's not your problem. You're amazingly, fantastically awesome. So if you can let someone in, and I think a homeschooled teenage girl is perfect, let someone in to your room and then just build a relationship with them and say, thank you so much for helping me. Number one, could you just get all of the laundry and take it down to the laundry room or put it in the laundry baskets? Or maybe your parents would pay to have your laundry done for you as a gift for something. Like, could you drop it off at the place and my mom's going to bring it back later and put, and start to take back your life through other people who want to be of service and use your prioritization and your mind. Make lists. I know when I'm sick or when I have a headache, especially it hasn't been a long time, knock on wood. When you have the flu, you have all these lists of all these things you want to do when you don't have the flu anymore or when you can do things. Go ahead and make the lists. And then I priority order them. This is it. When I'm sick, when my husband's sick, he wants everybody to leave him alone. So when I'm sick, he leaves me alone, which is fine, except I need things like an ice pack or water or whatever. And he never comes up to the bedroom, and like, I can't leave the bedroom. So whenever he does come up, I've been making this list. So then when he does get to me, I'm like, great, I just need these 8 things. And I give him the list to go get the 8 things. That's what you need to do. As you're laying there and you're thinking, you're like, what do I need? And then in what order? Because, you know, husbands, again, kind of like kids, they won't give you 89 things, but 3 to 5 things. So if you could have somebody that would come over and spend 90 minutes in your room helping you organize, what are the top 3 things that if they could get rid of those, everything else would be easier for you? If they could get rid of the dirty dishes and the laundry and put all of the books on the bookshelf, that would make you feel better. What are those top things? And what's happening as you lay there when you're sick or when you're thinking or you're out of spoons of all of the things you can do, you're going to think of more than 3, and you're going to need to constantly prioritize what are the 3 that are going to make the biggest impact or the 1 that is going to make the biggest impact. And then I want to leave you with a little bit of hope. You are making organizational progress. You are. You can't not be by listening to these podcasts, because your mind is changing, it's expanding, it's giving you more possibilities and opportunities about how you can be organized in different out-of-the-box ways of doing it. So 1, your mind is expanding. And 2, you're making the mental mindset shifts towards an organized life. All that is happening just by listening. The physical can happen quicker the more you prioritize the order. So normally we start in the kitchen, but if you're not in the kitchen making things, I want you to start in your bedroom. And once you can get your bedroom organized, I want you to move to your master closet. And what if you did 1 area of your master closet every week? Like the first week you just looked at shoes. And maybe somebody in your family would move all of the shoes into the bedroom next to your bed, so you could be staring at them the entire time. So you're staring at them and you're thinking about them. And then somebody else comes over and you go, great, can you pick up these 6 shoes and put them in the car and take them to Goodwill? Because you've made the decision, but you've been staring at them. And then you put the rest of the shoes back in the closet. And maybe the physical moving of the shoes in and out of the closet is too hard for you and somebody else will do it. Another way you could do this is to go into your closet and take pictures. Like, use your iPad or your phone or whatever and take pictures. And when you're laying in bed and you're looking at them, look at all of the shoes and make a list. You know, like white heels. When am I ever going to wear white heels again? Never. Gone. Those shoes are 2 sizes too small. Gone. Whatever. And make a physical list. So I hope that this helped you. 1, I hope that it made you, if you do have less spoons, made you feel validated that there is a difference in the energy level of people. I have a lot of energy. And there's some ways to get more energy by changing your diet and getting better healthcare. And sometimes there's not. It just is what it is. Like, we can't change what is, but we can deal with what we have. So this is The Spoon Theory by Christine Mesmerando. And her website is butyoudon'tlooksick.com. I think if this is you, you would get a lot out of that. I saw that she had like a cleaning program and all those kinds of things. She may be a better match for you than I am also in how she approaches organizing, because I do have a lot of spoons. Kind of like I'm always telling you to go to AndreaDecker.com if you have kids under 7, because all of her kids are under 7. She's a great organizer and she's in that phase of life. So if this is you, I think you would really resonate with what Christine has to say. And I encourage you to just do the 100-day program as you can. It will compound on itself. You will get organized. You just might not get organized as fast as you want to. Have a great week.